So welcome into the studio, Professor Green. How
Hello.
Are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very good, Stephen. Good. Very good to see you. Lovely to see you back.
Yes, it's been a little while. A long time.
It has.
Yeah.
A long time coming, this new music.
Feels like it, yeah. It's weird. It wouldn't have been, you know, in an age before now, but music's digested so quickly now, isn't it? I guess, yeah, things tend to get turned around a lot quicker, unless you're Adele.
Yeah. And then you just take your time.
Yeah, I think she can afford to.
Yeah, but you've taken your time with this album and,
yeah.
You know, for various different reasons. And you were saying, oh, I wanted it done by this point, I wanted it done by this point. But as I love the way you describe it, a lot's happened in your wonderfully colourful life.
Yeah, and it inevitably does, doesn't it? And it was nice just having the chance to live, even though it was up and down. You know, it's never all up, but nothing lasts forever and things do change.
Mm.
And that's kind of the purpose of the new single, you know? That's the kind of message in it. You know, it's about resolve, giving things a chance to turn around.
So, and it's coming from the album, which is called Growing Up in Public. So we'll talk a bit more, yeah, about that in a bit. But it's a great title. And so the first single, is that very sort of reflective of the content in,
yeah,
the album?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But we put a few bits out before, Not Your Man and I Need Church, with the wonderful Robbie Williams skit at the,
yes,
end, the answer machine message he left me, just to give people, you know, so people can gauge what the rest of the album is going to be like, and just to warm it up again. It's nice just to be back releasing music. It's been a while, as we said.
Yeah, the Robbie Williams answer phone message, I love. I mean, he's such a funny guy. And you two, so you had this little bit of a tiny falling out.
We had
didn't
a tiny
you?
Falling, yeah, out, yeah, and then we made up, and I had a little... You know, I poked a little bit of fun at him on I Need Church, and I gave him a chance to get me back.
And he took
and
that.
And he did, yeah.
Yeah, he did that well and truly. He would never miss an opportunity like that.
Nah, he's a good bloke, though.
Yeah, he is. I mean, so have you guys sort of hung out since? I mean, I know he's probably...
We haven't seen each other. He's all over the gaff, but we will in the future, and we are cool. You know, we've spoken since, and we're cool.
So what about a track with Robbie then? Because that was going to happen.
Well, it nearly did happen. It was,
yeah,
nearly I Need Church.
Yeah.
But yeah, it will. I'm sure it will happen in the future. I'd like the chance to work with him.
Yeah, I think it will.
Do you know what? It was weird because I Need Church. We already had the song. I'd already written the song. It'd be a giggle to get in the studio and to just come up with something.
Mm. It was so him though, that song.
I know.
That was
he
so
sounded
right
good
for
on
him.
It as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all right though. I'll tell you, that happened on a few songs on this album where the features didn't work out for one reason or another, and I was forced to step in and use my voice in ways I wasn't necessarily confident in, but I've learned to use my voice a lot better through it, and it helps make the album feel more like mine because my voice is across a lot more of it. You know, I know what I can and can't sing. I haven't pushed it or used auto-tune to escape things that, you know, I can't sing, so it still sounds all right. But it was fun actually in the studio.
Did you because you've always been a rapper, but did you have you always sung as well? Do you think of yourself as a singer? Or
no,
is this
not at
no?
all. Not at all. And I still don't. I can hold some notes, not all of them. Definitely not anywhere near all of them or that many of them, to be fair. But I've always written a lot more of my music than I think people realise. I just get other people to sing them because,
yeah,
they sound better.
But when you're writing it, you're singing it.
I have to,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I hope none of them demos surface because... That would be bad for me.
It would be fun. You should just go, do you know what? It's out there. Let's put it
out. Well,
on
I do it on Can't Dance Without You at the end. I actually, yeah, I take the mickey out of myself at the end of a track called Can't Dance Without You by singing the chorus. That sounds funny.
So will we see you do a full-on sort of, you know, you singing with that?
Throughout?
Game? Yeah.
I don't know. On the first album, there was Closing the Door with Fink, who's incredible. I didn't work with him on this album, but we've got a song for, we'll probably end up on the next one. And he actually got me to sing on that, so I sing the verses and he sings the chorus, and that was cool. That was one of my favourite tracks off the first album.
But going to your new single Lullaby with Tori Kelly, so
yeah,
she's got the most beautiful voice.
Incredible.
So you wouldn't want to step in and sing instead
no,
of her,
no, definitely not. There are a couple of melodic bits in the verse. That's what people don't realise. You even when you rap, you pitch, because if you take a rap off of one song and put it on another that's in a different key, it doesn't work. But yeah, definitely wouldn't want to sing anywhere near Tori Kelly.
So the tune, I mean, there's lots of videos up from Wireless, actually.
Yeah.
With you on stage and all your fans absolutely,
yeah,
loving that. So that must have been good to be
her
there.
Her fans, but, it was, yeah, amazing. Like, she pulls such an audience for someone so early on in her career, you know. She does incredibly. And it's what's incredible to see is how engaged her fans are. She's got a really, really hardcore following. I think she's got very, very big things ahead of her.
Like Emily Sanders, you've got like this little knack of spotting these. is that you that does that?
I just end up working with the people that it makes sense to work with. Mm-hmm. Usually because we bump into each other and we get along, or, you know, because I reach out to them. With this song, Tori was suggested to me and I checked out her stuff and just thought she was amazing. I'd seen a couple of covers that she'd done. And when we got the song back of her singing it, I was just blown away, as I think people will be when they hear her on it. Because it's not very often you get people who have the fragility as well as the power and the control. And she's only 21 and she is practically pitch perfect.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, definitely big things. I think you are, like, it'll be someone else, another female singer, that will be able to thank you for that big break in their career.
She'll be able to thank herself for that as well.
So I was wondering, with this kind of, like, knack that you've got, a bit of the Simon Cowell about you, there's still talk of there being a fifth judge on The X Factor.
Really?
And I could really see you doing The X Factor, one of these shows.
Well, I'm not known for biting my tongue,
exactly.
Am I? Yeah, no, it'd be quite a giggle. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I haven't been approached.
You haven't?
No, I haven't. Simon, if you're out there and you're listening.
Are you sure? Like, not even The Voice? Because I know that they approached...
Oh, The Voice approached me, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
But that didn't happen. I don't know. X Factor would be good, though.
You'd prefer to do X Factor?
Be a giggle.
Yeah. Simon, are you listening? We should definitely do this. So let's talk about your album. I loved, in April, you released a statement saying that the last 18 months have been mental, turbulent, up and down, round and round, amazing, horrible, happy, sad, frustrating, testing, trying, and above all, incredibly effing stressful.
Yes.
Is that all, do we get to hear about that in the album?
And I think that's what the blessing is, really. Like, I had the title for the album a couple of years ago, Growing Up in Public, and it was just quite ironic then. It wasn't, you know, it definitely didn't have as much meaning as it does now. So it kind of became a self-fulfilling prophecy. And something I said before is, you know, a lot of stuff happened. Mm. Stuff wasn't the word I used.
No.
but as it inevitably does. And it gave me stuff to talk about. I mean, if I'd have written an album 2 years ago, I might have struggled with content.
Mm.
And I wanted it out before, and the label wanted it out before. But, you know, I got hit by a car. I was off my feet for practically 3 months. And that was a struggle because I was on so many painkillers. I was in no state to do much at all, and it was horrible. My skin was itching all the time because of the tramadol. Like, it was bad, and I was lucky to get out of it with just the injuries that I had. I got married. That was stressful. You think as a man it's easy, you know, but it, you know, there was so much else going on. That was all happening like shortly after the accident.
It wasn't a low key marriage either. It's something that everyone was very interested
in. And it brought back a lot for me, you know. Like, it was weird. And it was stuff I never thought of, you know. And everyone knows about what happened with my dad. And for him to not be there, it's times like that when you're really reminded of it. And I think what happens is, generally, humans are quite resilient. So we get through most of the things that we're faced with. And when you do that, sometimes all you do is puff up your chest to get through it. And you get through it, and then you isolate your problems. You try and forget about them. You put them to the side, or you sweep them under the carpet. But eventually they'll surface and you have to deal with them. And I guess that brought back a lot of that. And that was something that I had to deal with at that time. And also, you know, I don't speak to my mum. So I didn't have either parent there. I had my nan, you know, which was more than enough. And, you know, my two uncles, my aunt, my cousins, who are my family, and all my friends. But it definitely made me have to address a lot that I maybe hadn't, which was a good thing ultimately. And the wedding went amazingly. My speech had everyone crying. It was a brilliant day.
You both looked gorgeous.
Thank you.
I think, you know, I'm not the only person. You two are such a sweet couple.
Thank you.
And generally people are interested in you because it's the meeting of two different worlds, but it's really worked.
It's weird because everyone's always like, so I just don't get how it works. And it's not anyone else's business to understand how it works, really. And I find the whole classism thing weird. You know, and even in, like, I remember someone tweeting me a Daily Mail article. Daily Mail article kind of says it all, doesn't it, really? But the headline was, like, ex-East End drug dealer marries Quality Street heiress. And it's like, that's how you report on a day like that, which in someone's life should be one of the most important days, it's like people are just so jaded. Mm-hmm. I just find it a bit sad for them, really.
Mm. But yeah. But as you guys continue to be brilliant and be happy, and it's just, it's so lovely to see.
Thank you.
You recently celebrated her 26th birthday with that... 25th with that excellent picture.
Oh, picture, which, wait, if you notice, she took a picture of the camera. It was like the camera of the pictures that no one ever sees. And I think she'd had a few drinks, so she just took a picture and Instagrammed it, where, it will always live forever now. It's on the internet.
It's a nice picture, though.
Well, it's a giggle, not sure I wanted it to go up on Instagram, but, hey, I was in a good mood, obviously.
And so was she. She was having fun, too.
No, it was a giggle, and it was natural, you know?
I really love the article that you did for The Independent
about
Twitter
and
social media in general, actually, and struck a few chords with me where you were saying that you're constantly checking your phone and not actually reading about the important things like what's happening in the Ukraine. And I'm of that.
I'm so uninformed. And it's people were like, well, why did you unfollow everyone? Well, because I couldn't just pick out specific people because that would be quite evil. So it was easier to just wipe the slate clean and unfollow everyone because I was digesting so much useless information, as well as providing people with a lot of useless information as well. And I just thought it was time to change the way I used it. And I think because I grew up at a time where there wasn't, you know, I was lucky. I was able to have my childhood without the internet practically up until I was about 14. So I had a proper childhood and things now, like kids are, I just hope we don't end up with a generation of socially inept people.
Yeah.
You know, because they spend all their time in their phones.
Yeah.
The art of conversation is definitely going to suffer a little bit.
So how do, I mean, because you are in a position to kind of talk to your fans and sort of, you know, just say, look, you do put the phones down, kids. Do you think other people should do a bit more of that too?
Depends on if they believe they should or shouldn't. You know, I mean, a lot of people see social media as a way to engage with their fans, which I still do. And that's not something I'm going to stop. There was this whole misconception that I'd quit Twitter and then people were like, oh, and here he is back already. But anyone that actually read the article properly anyway would have read that all I said was I'm going to change the way I use Twitter.
Yeah.
But the tabloids love to...
Yeah, well, exactly.
To sensationalise things.
But what it is that you've literally wiped the slate clean, as you said.
So
you've
and I'm just being a
deleted
bit more
all your tweets, deleted all your followers.
Being a little bit more responsible. That's not to say there's not going to be any of the old remarks that come out from time to time. I'm just not going to tell people when I've used the toilet or walked my dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which, I mean, and how about Instagram? Are you going to change? Because that it's kind of, Instagram's becoming a bit more like Twitter now, isn't
just
it?
Not, no more pictures of my roast dinners on a Sunday. Well,
I
not yet
like a
anyway.
Food picture though.
I know, but it got to the point where I would sit down and the first thing I'd do was take a picture of my meal when it arrived. And I just took a long hard look at myself, to be honest.
No, fair enough. And I think we could all do with doing that every now and then. When Millie cooks you a nice dish, that's allowed. I mean, she showed her skills.
Do you know what? I saw how much she applied herself beforehand, you know, because she worked extremely hard to get to the point where she was at when she did the show. Not to say she wasn't slightly difficult during that time because she was so stressed, but it was just, you know, I'm so proud of her. It was wicked to see her on the show and see how well she did because obviously I hadn't seen any of it until it aired on TV. I was gutted to see her come out. I don't know if she deserved to. I think that woman was insipid, not her.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. I wasn't sure the right person won, actually, for the whole series.
You know, it is what it is. But yeah. I was, just so proud to see how well she got on.
Well, and also it was a great show for her because it made it got everyone to see
who she is.
Who she actually is.
I think it was, because she hadn't done anything since Made in Chelsea. And I think it was a great chance for people to kind of understand a little bit more about who she is.
So, final question, obvious one. How about kids? When are you
kids?
Guys gonna...
I definitely want to be a father. That's something I definitely want to do. We want to enjoy marriage for a little bit. I think we've just moved into the first house I've ever bought. The first time we've ever lived alone together. Because when she moved in with me, I was still living with two mates. So it was like one big happy family up until very, very recently. And I just think any more stress on top of that. I don't mean that in a negative way, but I can imagine having children is extremely stressful.
Yeah.
And to add any more stress onto the ones we've had recently, I think would be a mistake. So we're just going to enjoy marriage for a little bit.
No, fair enough. And you're both really young. So like you've still got ages.
You know,
to go
30, 30 now, aren't I?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Big. That's so old. Do you feel, so if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would the main message, what would you tell yourself?
You're an idiot. No, I'm joking. I wouldn't change anything. And I think that would be the danger of informing your younger self of anything, you know, later on, just that you might change your path. I'm happy where I'm at.
But you've grown up in public.
Yeah.
Would you change that at all? Or?
Well, I've only, you know, it's been since sort of 25, 26. So it's only been sort of 4 or 5 years. Nah, it is what it is. I'm happy where I'm at, and you have to take the rough with the smooth, and I kind of take all that stuff much more with a pinch of salt. There was definitely a transitional period. I used to bite a lot more and pull the journalists up who said things I didn't agree with. But it's easier if you just say nothing rather than... I just learned that actually doing that was throwing fuel to the fire, and if you don't say anything, they tend to disappear a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So I've definitely changed my ways a little bit for the better, I hope.